In these weeks, when we're looking through the book of Exodus, we come to chapter 3, verse 15 onwards, into chapter 4, which I read earlier. Remember, the Israelites are slaves in Egypt, and Moses has had to flee out of Egypt into the wilderness in Midian. And there in the wilderness he sees a burning bush, which though burning is not consumed, reminding us of God, who is a burning fire, as the scripture says, is the source of all the stars in the universe, yet he is not consumed. His people, those who trust in him, may be persecuted as the history of the world continues, but still he preserves his people down the ages. And out of the burning bush, God reveals his name to Moses. It is the name I was, I am, and I will be. All other things had a beginning and will have an end. But God is not dependent upon anything else. He never had a beginning and will not have an end. He is the great eternal one. So what must Moses do? Well, in verse 15 of chapter 3, God gives Moses his plan. He says to him, return to Egypt. There you must gather the elders of Israel who are slaves in Egypt. Tell them that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, their ancestors, is going to set them free. They will listen to you, Moses. Go to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and ask him for freedom. Pharaoh will not agree to your request. So I, God, will send upon Egypt and Pharaoh many plagues. And then at the end of the plagues, they will let you go and even give you gifts as you go. That's the plan. And God gives Moses a sign. In verse 12 of chapter 3, and God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign, this will be a sign to you, that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. In other words, God says to Moses, you will see my promises being fulfilled as you implement my plan. Go out in faith, and the sign will be that you will see my promises being fulfilled. Now that has a message for us. As we look back on our lives, we're able, I believe, to recognize the hand of God upon us from childhood until the present day. As we look back in history, the history of the world, we can see God's hand upon world events in all the turmoil of the world. We can see him working his purposes out as the world moves towards the culmination of all things at the end of the age. Things that have happened in the world, although have been against the will of God, war and killing, yet they have not been haphazard. God's hand has been there, in spite of the sin of man, as the world moves towards the climax of history. And these things are a great sign to us that God's word is true. That means that you and I must go out into the future of our own lives in faith. And as we go into the future, we will see God's word come true for us. That's the sign. Is that what Moses does? Does he go out into the future in faith? No, he doesn't. Verse 1 of chapter 4, Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? Moses didn't believe God. Notice Moses doesn't say, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, won't listen to me. He says, Israel, the people I'm going to help, your people, will not listen to me. Pharaoh represents the power of the world against God's people. Israel represents God's people and therefore the church. Sometimes you and I might be tempted to feel the world and its evil is too powerful for God. Do you ever feel that? Do you ever feel that the forces of evil in the world and in society are too great for us? Sometimes it seems like that, doesn't it? Let me just give you one example. You may have heard a year or two ago, or was it 3 years ago, there was that awful blasphemous film called The Last Temptation of Christ, showing a long and obscene sequence with Christ in it. Can you imagine it? I'm sorry to have to tell you that film is going to be shown on our television this autumn on BBC Two. The power of TV is very, very powerful. It reaches right into the sitting rooms of 99% of the population in this country all day and every day, and a great deal of it is against our Christian faith and is destroying our society. Now, this power of the world is used to knock the gospel and promote evil, and there's money in it. And what do we have against it, humanly speaking? Well, we have church on Sunday. We don't have much money. People have to make the effort to come to church. They don't have to make any effort to stay at home and watch the TV. It seems that Pharaoh, that is the power of the world, has got all the power and we have so little. We don't have TV stations promoting the gospel, promoting the Christian faith. We're not even allowed to have that by law. The power of the world seems so overwhelming. Yet, in the Soviet Union, where the TV and the radio and the schools taught that there was no God, for 70 years they taught that, now the church is reviving. And the Russian Orthodox Church has just requested the Bible Society here in Scotland to provide them with 20 million Bibles. The power of prayer has been going up in the Soviet Union for years and years, and God has answered that prayer. And the power of prayer has been more powerful than the TV, the radio, the newspapers. Don't be afraid of the power of Pharaoh, the power of the world. If we are humble before God and seek him earnestly, he can knock down all these forces of evil. But that actually wasn't Moses' problem. Moses was doubting God's people. He said, it's your people who won't believe. In other words, he was blaming the church. He's saying the church is so weak, there's no hope. Yes, it does look as if the church is weak. We see it closing all around us. The Archbishop of Canterbury and the moderator don't seem to give a very strong lead to our country, do they? We read of scandals here and there in the church. But even again, we're in danger of doubting the power of God. For example, in the 16th century, the church in Europe was far, far more corrupt and dead than it is today. The priests were simply pagans. They didn't even know what the Bible was. Priests who didn't know what the Bible was. People were taught that they could buy their relatives out of purgatory and into heaven by giving money to the church. That's how superstitious it was and dead it was. Yet in the midst, God worked. And there was a great reformation. And there was a mighty move of God's Spirit in Europe. 200 years ago in England, the Church of England was so dead that the clergy didn't even bother to turn up to church to take services. They were too busy hunting, shooting and fishing, and people turned up to the church and there was no one to take the service. That's how dead the church was 200 years ago. The nation was so corrupt that there was a danger of violent revolution. But in the answer to the prayers of ordinary people, God moved in England 200 years ago, and John Wesley brought revival under the Spirit of God to England. It spread into Scotland too. And England was revived and restored. Moses said to God, "Your people will not listen." He says to God, the church is too dead. He was forgetting the power of God and the power of prayer. Moses did not believe the sign that God had given him. The sign was, you will see my promises fulfilled as you implement my plan. God is very patient and merciful to us all. He gave Moses a sign, another sign that would satisfy him. God says to Moses, I'm putting it in my own words, all right, if you won't believe the sign I give you, if you won't go out in faith, here's something else. See that stick in your hand? Throw it down. Became a snake. Pick it up again, it becomes a stick. Put your hand inside your cloak, take it out, it's leprous. Put it in again, take it out, your hand is clean. Seems like two tricks, doesn't it? But God knew that these tricks would not really be needed. They were simply to reassure Moses. He gave them to him to condescend to him. Today there is ample evidence for the truth of the grace of God and his word. We've only got to look around us in the wonderful world. We've only got to see the fulfillment of his purposes in the history of the world. We've only got to understand what the gospel is as we read the Bible to see how true the message is. Yet, many of us, and there are many churches like this, like Moses, they get impatient with the great signs of God which are all around us, and they want more immediate signs, more extraordinary things that people can see right now. And God does grant them signs and wonders. Yes, in many parts of the world there are extraordinary things happening. God may grant them. But it will not be the solution to the church's problems. Why not? A few chapters later we find out why. In Exodus 7, verse 8 to 12, we read these words. The Lord said to Moses, when Pharaoh says to you, perform a miracle, then say to Aaron, take your staff and throw it down before Pharaoh, and it will become a snake. Then Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord had commanded. Aaron threw his staff down in front of Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a snake. Pharaoh then summoned wise men and sorcerers, and the Egyptian magicians also did the same things by their secret arts. Each one threw down his staff, and it became a snake. The magicians, the godless magicians, could do the same by their own magic. Now, I believe that God does work miracles in various parts of the world, but we must never put our faith in these miracles because some of them can be duplicated by those who are not Christians at all. Those who believe in magic and the devil duplicate them. But what the devil cannot do is create a world, bring life into being, to lift up and bring down nations and fulfill the word of God.
That has to be the true sign for us. Even though Moses was given these tricks to do, he still resisted. So we read in verse 10, Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you've spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and tongue. He says, Lord, I've got a speech defect. Then verse 11 to 13, the Lord said to him, Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. But Moses said, O Lord, please send somebody else to do it. It was only an excuse. It's easy to find an excuse for not doing the will of God. God answers, Who gave you your mouth to speak? It's marvelous how God overcomes physical handicaps. Have you heard of that Christian lady, Johnny, who was paralyzed from the neck downwards and yet has had a ministry of blessing to countless thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people through her life? Yesterday I had a letter and I replied to the letter from the evangelist in Malawi with whom I used to work, Mr. Chimbayo. He walked 16 miles a day, 8 miles a day, on his bad leg, a physical handicap he had. Could hardly walk. Every step was painful. Yet, for the Lord's work, 7 days a week, he walked those 8 miles, preaching, evangelizing, visiting the sick. I was privileged to be with him for several days, for several years, to work with him. He had an immense influence and still has in the church in that town on many, many people. He didn't make an excuse and say, my leg isn't good enough. But Moses said, I'm not good enough at speaking. Yet God was merciful to Moses. He says, all right, I'll give you Aaron, your brother. He'll speak for you. God condescends to our feebleness of faith. He understands our fears. Yet some would say that Moses would have been far better simply trusting God, because in later years, Aaron became a source of trouble to Moses. Now, God may have condescended to some of us, to our unbelief, and allowed us to accept the second best. Many people are going through life with thorns in their flesh, which came from their unbelief in earlier years. And that's what happened to Moses. But be encouraged. Later in life, by the grace of God, Moses did eventually become the greatest figure in Israel's history and one of the greatest statesmen the world has ever known. We read in the book of Numbers that Moses became a very humble man, more humble than any other man on the face of the whole earth. And it was Moses through whom God gave us the Ten Commandments, which have been the foundation of civilization in the whole world. And right at the end of Moses' life, we get this marvelous summary of what he became by the grace of God. In Deuteronomy 34, Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all these miraculous signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to the whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. You and I may have let the Lord down by unbelief, and as a result have only known the second best. But by God's grace, when we recommit our lives to him and go out in faith, God can still bring us to our full potential in the end. Let us pray. O God, our Father, you know the weakness of our faith, and you have condescended in mercy to each one of us. We're sorry if we've been unbelieving and hesitant and even disobedient. May we be rather like the Apostle Paul, who was able to say to King Agrippa, "I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." Keep us, Lord, faithful to the end. Thank you for that great sign, the sign of the fulfillment of the truth of your word. As year succeeds year, then may our faith be in you, the Lord of all. For Christ's sake, Amen.